It's episode 149 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Verdier. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing Spider-Man Homecoming.
And the Ewok Adventures.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com. Or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or search for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or head on over to Facebook. Search for the Hodgepodge Podcast. And like our page. And with the hat trick this week, it's our good friend Matt King. Matt King, welcome back to the show.
Is that a sports ball reference?
I don't know what that means.
It's hockey. Like, they don't use... They,
literally, like, literally, six turkeys. Literally no one here has a hat on. Okay. I don't understand.
Maybe...
This will be the last episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast.
Oh, is anyone a magician? Like,
well, I'm a little bit of a wizard.
Maybe that's what it's about.
Speaking of wizards, no, what was that reference about?
Hat trick?
Yeah.
There are three of us.
No, because it's the third show in a row you've been on.
Is it?
I think so.
God damn, I got to find something else to do.
No one remembers that.
Definitely not me. No. But
well, the guy who fucking edits the goddamn thing and posts it, he remembers.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Again, this will be the last episode. We're done.
Until episode 150.
Yeah.
So, we're way past that.
I'll be doing it by myself.
Good luck.
Past 150.
Man, I don't know what number we're on.
I just said it. 149. Yeah.
See, I don't listen.
See, I was listening.
Spider-Man.
He's the one with the big fat can. That's how the song goes.
No.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Spider-Man Homecoming.
I guess, is there any movie news that's coming out? I don't think so.
Spider-Man Homecoming. That's the news, basically. I mean, because I don't think there's anything...
No, I don't think so.
Well, really
guy
died.
Oh, yeah, that guy died.
Yeah. And what is the actor's name?
It's a great question. I prefer to remember him as Lafayette.
Yeah. I think his last name starts with an E. Or first name. He's like... I
have no idea.
I don't know.
He was 39 and died of heart complications.
He was.
And he was Lafayette on True Blood.
He was also Bobby Bird in Get On Up, the James Brown story.
He was in another TV show. I can't remember which one it was right now. Like, a recent TV show. Oh, Elementary. He was a guest star in Elementary first season.
Nelson Ellis.
Nelson E.
You're right.
E.
Nice yes. job.
Thank you.
Not you. You looked it up.
Nelson Ellis Maybe passed away, as Matt pointed out, from heart complications. I don't think they revealed... For sure.
It sucked. He was 39 years old, man. That's way too young.
Not much going on, movie news-wise. Spider-Man's the big news. Made $117 million on its opening weekend. And, yeah. Most people are happy with it.
So, what'd you say, the third biggest of the year? Is that what that is? Like, the weekend?
Yeah, third biggest weekend haul of 2017 behind Guardians Volume 2 and Beauty and the Beast. I don't know what that is. Nah. So, Disney top three so far this year.
Okay.
Would it qualify as a Disney movie, though? I mean, I know that it's part of the MCU, but it's technically a Sony movie.
It's
technically
it's
still
like
Sony.
An eye roll when you see like Sony on the screen. You're like, this is fucking MCU.
Yeah.
It's a nice try, Sony.
Yeah,
well, they
paid
for
it. We're in it.
I think I kind of think you got to consider it.
Yeah.
In both camps, really. I mean, it's a win. It's a win
remember,
either way.
Well, that's true. I don't remember what the business deal was. Like, who?
Basically, Sony gets. Basically, Disney just gets creative control, and that's it. Sony gets everything out of it. Gets the money. They put up the money. They get the profits from it.
Sweet deal for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read that the other day.
Well, this is this likely gonna in the long run will it surpass Guardians 2 or
probably not.
Probably not.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, because Planet of the Apes comes out this weekend coming up, and I don't know. What will happen there? Then Christopher Nolan's movie comes out. Dunkirk comes out next week. And then somebody pointed out when they were talking about Dunkirk, they're like, it's got a lot of stiff competition. It comes out the same week as Valerian. I'm like, go fuck yourself. God. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Mm. I'm like, no, the stiff competition is Spider-Man and
that
movie's Planet
gonna,
of the Apes.
That movie's going to tank, and it's going to tank hard.
Yeah, it's a Jupiter ascending.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to.
I don't foresee many people.
I'm so happy they didn't
rushing
follow
out
through
to the box office for that one.
No, they didn't follow through with their threat to put the opening scene in front of Spider-Man.
They may have done it in the IMAX version.
Oh, is that what they were saying they were going to do? Like, how to try to suck people in?
Yeah. I think they may have done it in the IMAX versions, or maybe even just the 3D versions.
Huh.
Because we saw it in 2D, because 3D sucks. Although, I heard on Collider, but, you know, of course, they're all about selling movies and shit, that one guy saw it in 3D. He's like, oh, it's actually pretty cool seeing Spider-Man 3D. I'm like, whatever. Like, I think it was the scene on the Washington Monument. He was like, oh, that was really cool. And I was
okay. Like, when he's leaning off the monument, maybe, I guess. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think that's what it was.
I mean, I can't think of many scenes that would warrant 3D in that movie, but
they're
just doing it with everything, so whatever. But, I mean, I saw that it was... I'm sure y'all know what number one is, but I saw it was, like, the number two rated superhero movie on Rotten Tomatoes now.
Number one's The Dark Knight.
Is it?
Because
so,
I saw the thing that was on Facebook when it was 94, and they said, oh, it ties for the top movie, and then when you look up Dark Knight's 94.
Okay.
I don't know if the Dark Knight's the only one that's 94, but...
Well, that would make sense, because that's...
Yeah.
That's the best one of all time.
Yeah. So. It is.
It is what it is.
You are more than welcome to your opinion.
It is what it is. It's a fact.
That's not a bit. That's a fact.
So let's talk about Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming is the worst Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie
ever. I'm with you right
now.
It's
the worst Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie ever because it's awesome.
Look, you don't have to shit over Sam Raimi.
I know, that's true. That's a...
Just to talk about
actually,
how good this movie is.
Actually, on Friday, or no, wait. Friday, actually, I watched Spider-Man 2 on TV again. And I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. It was fine for me. I'll give it this. It feels like a comic book. Like it
does.
It feels like a comic book on the screen. Kind of like this one does a little bit, too. But Sam Raimi's got that more natural feel to do that. I'll say that. And I love Sam Raimi. I fucking think he's awesome. But that movie didn't wow me. But again, I guess maybe I'm seeing it 10 years later.
15?
After that. Yeah.
When did it come out? 2004?
Yeah, about 2004.
Yeah,
so quite. Yeah.
I'm not quite 15.
But,
I was thinking the first Spider-Man was 2002.
But, you know, it's a good movie. Not a great movie. This one's a great movie.
Yeah. I have not loved any of the Spider-Man movies that have come out until this one. This one's Homecoming is fantastic. It's so good. It's so funny. A friend of mine's on Facebook after I posted like my quick, you know, reaction to it. He's like, "Oh wow, this is shocking." He's like, "Because the ad campaign fucking sucks in the trailers." And I was just like,
"Did it?"
I saw the trailers. He did post one of the billboards they had in New York. And it was terrible.
Was it?
It's the part
like the
when
last poster?
No, that's what I thought he was talking about. But no, he showed me the billboard, and it was the part where he was, they took it straight from the movie.
With
the ferry, and he's going like this. And then they have Spider-Man, and they have the title split in half. And it actually looks like it says Spid-Man. Mm. And I'm like, that's terrible.
Really clever, actually. It was a nice, it was a cool billboard, I thought.
Nah, I didn't think so.
Oh, you saw that billboard?
I saw that.
It's
been out for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea.
But
they played that part in the trailer, in the first two trailers, if not all three trailers, so presumably people know what that scene's about, or they've seen it before.
Right. I thought this movie was, I know you guys are more the comic book guys, but from what I know of basically the limited view I have of comics, but also the 90s cartoon. I mean, this was like pitch perfect Spider-Man. I mean, it played so well on the comedy, on him, you know, learning his abilities, and still being a kid, which is the main part, I think. He's a fucking kid.
The story, the reason why it feels so perfect to you is two reasons. Because the story has stakes, but they're very small stakes. It's not like the Amazing Spider-Man movies where they're like, we're going to destroy the city!
Absolutely, yeah.
And then it's also not But it's also not necessarily super personal stakes to him, where it's Mary Jane's in trouble again.
Right.
And I gotta go save her again.
Right.
I mean, because that's literally the three Sam Raimi movies. It's always Mary Jane's in trouble, I gotta go save her.
Yeah.
It's him trying to do the right thing against a villain who's not trying to destroy the city.
Yeah,
You don't need that.
It's just like comics. Every comic book is not about some world destroyer, right?
Right. We talked about this with, I think, when we talked about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time with it's not even comic book movies, but they always try to up the stakes.
Right.
And you don't have to do that to make a solid movie.
No, upping the stakes is Avengers. That's right. When you have, like, the big, holy shit, we need the whole team.
This works. The guy, he's just a down-on-his-luck guy who turns to thievery. Drugs. And robbery for...
I think I'm with Peter Parker.
For as a means to an end. And he gets sucked into it more and more. And, yes, the weapons are, high tech and all that. But that's all it is. It's arm smuggling.
Right.
And it worked great. And I love Tom Holland, but Michael Keaton was amazing in this movie.
Yeah, Michael Keaton was really good.
I mean, he played the part of a psychopath who hasn't yet fully developed into a full-on psychopath just, like, perfectly. Like, he doesn't know he's a psychopath yet.
Right.
But you can see like, a switch on him when he does realize it. Right. And my favorite scene in the movie is the car scene.
Yeah, by far.
That's the best scene in the movie. I loved it. Just the tension and then the interaction between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, it's perfect.
And I liked it because they had a similar scene, sort of, in the first Spider-Man. With Sam Raimi, with the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Where...
when he came to Thanksgiving dinner.
Where he comes to Thanksgiving dinner. But, like, that didn't work as well for me. Like this scene was perfect, because they're driving in the car, and you can see Michael Keaton, like, putting all the pieces together. And then he's like, wait a second.
It's almost like he already had a suspicion, I think. I felt like...
Well, because he didn't know him until he showed up. Well, we don't want to get too much...
I meant before the car, though. It's like he'd already formed a suspicion in the house, and then he's playing that out in the car.
Yeah. I thought you meant,
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. No, clearly he didn't know him from a hole in the wall before.
What were your initial impressions?
He hated it.
Totally hated it.
Guy who's seen twice. It twice already.
Twice.
just to ire at the screen a little more.
I couldn't remember why I hated it so much. So I
you took your tomatoes the second time.
I did. Threw them right there at the screen.
Rotten!
I'm one of the 7%. No, I love Spider-Man 2, as many people do. And so going into this, there was no way I thought this was really going to touch Spider-Man 2. And that went out the window as soon as I walked out of the movie, because I thought it at least tied it. Because Tom Holland plays both Peter Parker and Spider-Man perfectly. Mm-hmm. They captured the feel of a real good Spider-Man story. And Michael Keaton, like you're saying, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. He is instantly one of the best villains.
He was pretty perfect, MCU. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it works on all levels. I don't think this is really what they were going for, but it's a sweet movie. It's a coming-of-age story. Mm-hmm. And you feel for this kid. Because he has to keep this huge secret. But he's also going through the things that every kid does at that age,
he's gay.
didn't quite get that out of it.
I didn't find it.
Especially with him going after Liz the entire movie, but, maybe they just want to be friends.
But he, I agree. That was pretty cool. He played it well.
Yeah, he was great. And we got a taste of that in Civil War, but it's,
mm-hmm.
any number of things can go wrong outside of, like, what the MCU or what Marvel controls.
Well, the other thing is, when we first saw the writers that were involved on it, these are the guys that wrote the Vacation remake. So we were holy shit. And then when you look at this, that was the story, the guys who did the story.
Five or six.
Then, I mean, there's like six or seven screenwriters on this thing. And like, if you look at that just before going to see the movie, you're like, that's a bad sign. But it works. I mean, this movie is fucking hilarious.
I loved... the opening, that was real brilliant. How they
his video?
How they recapped the Civil War. Oh, yeah. But from literally a different angle. Like, it was awesome how they did that. That was perfect.
But the first, I mean, it's also surprising how they opened the movie, because the first, like, 5 minutes or so, not even about him. It's all about...
It's all about
Vulture.
Right.
And they really narrow it down. And for comic book fans, we'll get into spoilers in a little bit, but for comic book fans, there's a nice Easter egg at the very beginning where they introduced Damage Control, which was a comic book in the 80s, where it was this agency. I think it was more of like a business, I think, more than an agency. In this, it's a government agency, basically founded by Tony Stark after the Avengers thing. They call it Damage Control, which basically they're responsible for the cleanup for all these superhero disasters that happen. And that's where Vulture comes in. Adrian Toomes, played by Michael Keaton, who he's like a salvage guy, and he's a salvage contractor, and he was doing salvage work on the Battle of New York, which was in Avengers, the first Avengers. And then this agency comes in and says, nope, you're done, because we're taking over here. And then basically they put him out of business. And so then he goes to doing illegal salvage.
Well, he's instantly in debt at that point.
Right.
He puts in all the money.
He mentioned how he's all in on this project.
He bought all the trucks. He did.
Right. Right. So then he goes to illegal salvage, and then he starts building weapons, as Dirty A alluded to.
He basically stole. He stole a little bit of tech from the aliens.
The Chitauri.
And then he and his small little crew use that to start building and putting back together new weapons.
And selling them on the black market.
Selling them on the market, yeah.
So that's basically the gist of that's the plot. And then...
And as soon as I saw that, I breathed a sigh of relief. I'm like, oh, this is good. It's not going to be like him trying to destroy the city or the world.
Right.
He's an arms dealer.
Right.
And he's trying to make money.
This is great. This is where Spider-Man needs to live. It's certainly as a kid.
Yeah.
As a friendly neighborhood.
Neighborhood spider. Right.
And that's the thing about Spider-Man's villains from the comics. I mean, I would say a good 90% of them are just bank robbers. I mean, that's really all they are.
Right. Like the Rhino.
My favorite one, honestly, was always Sandman. That's what he was. I mean, he was just...
But no, that's fucking what I'm saying. It's like, you've got Batman, who's got the villains, so they're all like psychological disorders and stuff like that. But like Spider-Man's villains were just colorful bank robbers. Yeah. That's really all they were.
Yeah.
And so this is an interesting twist on that, to make him, he's an arms dealer, but still he's just... It's a high stakes crime, but it's a small time thing in the scope of the
superhero universe. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, I never hated like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. I thought he was pretty good. I never hated him as Spider-Man. I also thought Andrew Garfield did a good job, but Tom Holland, like, he just epitomizes the role.
He nails both parts.
But it's because he's really, he's 20, but he's really a kid. I mean, like, he's closer to that age. I mean.
Well, it's him, and it's also the writers,
and the supporting cast too.
Yeah, we talked about this before, but in the Raimi movies, I thought they did Peter Parker pretty well, and in the Mark Webb movies, I thought they did Spider-Man better
than Peter Parker.
This was both
parts,
right?
He got Spidey right, and he got
that's
Peter
a
Parker
good way to look at.
And the other thing that I loved about this movie is that they didn't have to explicitly tell you everything; they let it play out on the screen. And I've said this before, my biggest complaint with Spider-Man 2 was that they took the story Spider-Man No More from the comics. And in the comic book, he quits being Spider-Man because it's fucking up with his life. But in the movie, they turned it into he loses his powers, or like he can't access his powers, and then he quits. It's like, you have to quit. You're not Spider-Man anymore if you don't have the powers.
But it was more of a psychological thing. It's not like he lost his powers because something. He lost his powers because he was already realizing this is so hard and it's fucking up my life.
But the thing is, once he can't use the powers, you're not Spider-Man anymore. You see what I mean? It's not like Batman, who just goes out and he's Batman. Like Peter Parker, like Spider-Man is Peter Parker. So it's like, but Bruce Wayne is Batman. So it's like, Batman is the true thing. Peter Parker is the true thing with Spider-Man. So it's like, but once you can't, especially since they made organic webs, you can't shoot the webs, you can't climb the walls, you're not Spider-Man anymore. Right. So you're just not. So, because if you went out there in the costume,
it was his choice. And his powers in that movie were fading because his heart wasn't in it anymore. Because he wanted to pursue these other aspects of his life, namely Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Right.
And Spider-Man was interfering in that. So,
and there were some real great scenes in that movie. I know you love the whole movie as a whole, and I like it. I just don't love it. But, like, there were some real great scenes in that movie, such as, you know, when he goes and saves the girl as Peter Parker, mm-hmm. and then he comes out and realizes someone else died because he was doing it as a man, and if he had been Spider-Man, everyone would have been saved. And I think that's a great scene, and it's kind of poignant. But yeah, I think we're digressing from Homecoming a little bit, but I just wanted to point out that, you know, while some of these Spider-Man movies, most of them have failed, it isn't necessarily the actor's fault.
No,
by
it's
any
not,
means.
No.
That they there's a good lineage of people playing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But this one,
like, I don't fault Henry Cavill for Man of Steel.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly right. Yep.
I think he could be a great Superman.
And actually, I didn't hate Man of Steel, actually. I didn't think it was terrible.
Right.
I just my problem with a lot of when superhero movies fail, I feel like it's because either the director or the writer just didn't understand the character.
Oh, 100%.
Or didn't care about
Green
Lantern. Because we're out of the age of the movie superstar. Like, that's like the actors don't drive the projects anymore. It's all about directors and then the IP. That's all it is now. Hmm. You know, like Nolan. Like, people will go see Dunkirk because it's Christopher Nolan. You know, Edgar Wright. You know, people go to see that movie because it's Edgar Wright. You know. I mean, granted, he's not as successful, but he has a cult following because of who he is.
That's right.
You know, people go see the Marvel movies because it says Marvel on it. That's why they go to see them. You know, as much as I love the fact that Wonder Woman is the number one DCEU movie now domestically, I hate to break it to you, in 2 years when The Batman comes out, that will no longer be the case.
Right.
It might even be the case in November for Justice League, but people will flock to see Batman. You know, that's just what it is. And people flock to see Spider-Man too. But what I was saying is that, like, the thing with this movie is that it doesn't explicitly spell everything out. Like, you know, you see, so in Spider-Man 2, like, he loses the powers, but in this, you can see, like, how he's agonizing with choosing being a hero over living his teenage life. One of the great scenes is when he's at that party at Liz's house, and he's looking in the skylight, and he sees his friends all having fun, and then he sees an explosion off the distance. He's like, I have to go do that.
Followed by one of the funniest things.
I loved it.
Yeah. But he's like, I have to go do this. And you can see, like, the anguish on his face. Collider, they said that, because there's a scene that happens at the very, very end of the movie that is a game changer for Spider-Man. And I'm glad they did it, too. And we'll get into, like, explicit
spoilers.
We'll
talk about spoilers later. Yeah.
But, and we'll talk about that in depth. But Collider was like, oh, well, this Peter Parker doesn't have spider sense. It's like, no, he does have spider sense. They just didn't have the scene where he goes, oh, and everything's in slow motion. Like that.
Right.
No, you can tell from Civil War even, but also in this, the way he fights, he clearly has it's just that what happens in the end of the movie,
they don't have to call it out.
Right. Yeah. But what happens at the end of the movie is not a threat to him, like a physical threat to him. It's the same thing when we talked about it last night, when he comes into his house and his friend Ned, who's played by Jacob Batalon, who is fucking amazing in this movie. He's so funny. He's like, he's sitting on Peter's bed, like, oh my God, you're fucking Spider-Man. His spider sense doesn't go up because he's not a threat. He's not going to hurt him. Yeah. So it's, you know,
it's not a radar.
Right. It's not Daredevil's radar. Yeah. It's
danger.
Danger. It's a danger sense.
It's an alert. It's an alert.
And the fact that like a movie reviewer, like, you know, Goldberg on Collider, like, doesn't get that. It's like, what's the matter with you? It's like, you should send a comic book guy to fucking...
Well, what's the matter with... I know what's the matter with him. He doesn't read... He's not in that comic book universe. He's just watching a movie based on another movie he's seen where it showed that.
Right.
I'm not going to fault him for that necessarily. Right. But you're right. You're absolutely right. I would say I disagree with you on Raimi's ability to show Peter Parker agonizing. I thought Spider-Man 2 did a pretty good job of that.
I'm not saying
whole little vignette scene where, and after that, where it's, you know, they got the raindrops keep falling them. You know, it's just a different way to portray it.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that, like, in that movie, it's an actual physical manifestation of my powers. Whereas, you know, in this, it's more subtle in this
choosing
movie.
Hey, I just don't want to do this.
Right.
You know, I also love in this movie, because one of my main gripes about the original trilogy is that, you know, he can shoot the webs. And right. This one, it literally shows him trying to make...
Change the cartridges.
Yeah.
Change
well, that,
the
cartridges. That's been a problem, yeah.
I love that... Okay, so I was worried going into this movie that I'd hate the fact that Tony Stark made his suit and that, you know, he would have done all the gadgets and stuff. But they did a real good job of toning that down. Yeah, you know, and showing him still being the genius that he is as Peter Parker with his own suit.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was pretty cool.
That was... It's been a big thing for me throughout the Spider-Man movies, even the Raimi movies. I don't think they've gotten Peter's intelligence right up until this movie. Because
they showed that
not everything has to be, yeah, not everything has to be exactly like the comics. But in the in the Marvel universe, Peter Parker is one of the top five most intelligent characters in the entire pantheon, you know, of characters. Right. He is brilliant. He's right up there with Reed Richards, you know. So they haven't shown that. Really at all. I mean, we knew he was smart in the Raimi movies, but he never really did much as far as inventing.
I mean, you see him talking to, like, people with formula. When he's interacting with Molina.
Octavius. You know he's smart, but he never really applies it.
Right.
He seems like a nerd, basically.
The Amazing Spider-Man movies, he had to look at what's a battery on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of here. That was the worst.
Well, everything about this movie
was the worst. But... it started in Civil War, and they really showed it here. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's making the web fluid while he's in class. You know,
right. That was hilarious.
Which is great. And I think eventually he'll probably make his own suit, but it's nice that he was able to sort of, well, I mean, I guess we'll get into it. The plot.
It made sense just to jump the plot along a little faster.
Yeah.
That Stark do this. I get that.
Yeah.
And it works. It was fine. I was worried about it, but it works. I'm still a little on the fence. I'm still a little trepidatious about the young May. Like, that still weirds me out a little bit. It's fine. It's not terrible, but it's still like, I just expect to see.
Age-wise, though, I think it's about right.
I'm not saying it's wrong.
For Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not saying it's wrong.
Because this is very much Ultimate Spider-Man.
I mean, yeah, okay.
I mean, very much.
You talk about the period of the comic books.
Yeah, the comic book. It's very much Ultimate Spider-Man. She didn't look like Marissa Tomei in the comic book. She still had, like, gray hair and stuff like that, but you could tell she was, like, in her 50s or something.
Okay, all right.
Like, and Marissa Tomei is, what,
yeah, she's in her late 50s, probably.
Late 50s?
She's early, early 50s. Early and mid.
Is she?
Early.
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, sure. Okay. I'm thinking of My Cousin Vinny, which was, you know, 20 years ago. I figured she was, like, 30-something then.
Let's find out.
I think she's low 50s.
Okay, that's fine.
I think so, too.
But
she's still gorgeous.
52.
Yeah.
So she'll be 53 at the end of the year.
Probably. She's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, of course she is. Yeah. I mean, that's also a joke.
You're saying you love her?
Yes.
That's a joke throughout the movie, you know.
Tony Stark makes a funny joke about that, yeah.
You know, talking about the suit, I liked the suit. I do think they tricked it out just a little bit too much. It just went a little scooch over, like, what I was comfortable with. Because I feel the same way. Peter Parker is kind of like a self-made man. And then when Tony Stark comes and goes, hey, here's this awesome suit for you.
And it's got, like, drones with it. The drones made it almost
a little too Iron Man-ish.
A little bit.
And even though I liked the voice and him talking to the voice stuff like that, I was like, even that, I was like, that's a little bit too much.
Did you complete fan theory, of course, but did you see the fan theory on the voice?
No.
You know, Jennifer Connelly is the voice.
Right.
And the fan theory is that, you know, maybe it's Jocasta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because Paul Bettany, they're married in real life.
They're married in real life.
And he's Vision, right. And they think that might be what goes on there. So, probably
cool.
not.
But that'd be cool.
It's a pretty little...
It would totally work.
It's a very subtle wink.
That'd be cool, yeah.
And they did have the Jocasta AI that he decided not to use.
Ultron. Yeah, Age of Ultron. He's going through it, yeah.
He picked Friday over Jocasta.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
But no, it's like, I like the suit. It's just that I thought they just tricked it out a little bit too much.
I can't argue with that too much.
But I was very happy with his decision at the end of the movie as well, which we'll get to. But, you know, that was like one of my minor complaints about the movie. There wasn't a lot to complain about.
I think we all agree any complaint is minor here. That we talk about. I loved Vulture's outfit.
That was cool. Fucking awesome. That thing was cool.
I don't know how they did it. Vulture is a stupid villain. I'm just going to say it. He's a stupid villain.
Oh, yeah. In the comics? Comics, yeah. With the with big nose and the... Oh, yeah.
And the furry...
The actual...
Vulture
costume. Vulture collar.
I mean, he's ridiculous. Yeah. He's a ridiculous character. This Vulture was cool as shit.
Yeah. It was really cool.
And they made him scary. They made... Oh, yeah. Whenever... Like, when he was... all on the ferry, that the ferry scene when he realizes what's going on, Toomes knows that Spider-Man is there, and he's like, all right, and he goes to get in the, like, you know he's going to suit up, but you don't know where he is, and then he busts out of the van.
The van.
But it's the music that they do, or the sound effects they do with Vulture in this movie, turn him into something scary, because when he's coming out of the van, it's like, grr, you know, he's just, it was so cool.
It was pretty badass.
Yeah, and he erupts from this van.
It's kind of like it's kind of like what they did with in The Dark Knight with the Joker. Every time you start to hear that, that fucking violin, you're like, oh fuck, something bad's gonna happen now.
I love the basically the one shot of Vulture perched.
Oh, that's so cool.
Man.
I know it's only for like a second,
but it was like that was so cool.
It was such a good shot.
Yeah.
Speaking of shots and stuff like that, you know, kudos have to go out to John Watts, the director. I mean, he made basically like one, maybe like two movies before this, and they were very, very low budget indie movies. And he knocked this out of the park. You know, there are certain things I did like about the Amazing Spider-Man movies. Mainly it's just Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, but I like Sally Fields. I like Sally Field. She was a good Aunt May.
She was fine.
But, you know, Mark Webb, you know, made indie movie, you know, and then he flopped
on it.
Yeah, he kind of sunk instead of swam. So, you know, John Watts did a great job. I don't think they've officially signed him for the sequel, but...
No, he's pulling a Patty Jenkins. He's
right. Like, right.
Here's what I'm going to do with the second one. You know, but I haven't signed on.
Yeah, he's going to do the second
you know, and Tom Holland is the same thing as saying, as Gal Gadot, saying like, you know, yeah, he has to come back and do this. So. Yeah.
I don't think they just won't tell Tom Holland anything.
So. No. Right. No, they've already learned their lesson.
They're like, nope.
I think we talked about he's not allowed to read the Infinity War.
Well, he said he still has no idea who he's fighting.
Yeah, he doesn't know
he's
fighting.
He's filmed his scenes and he has no idea because he's a kid.
Yeah.
And you know what kids do? They talk, you know? His real life is playing out into why he's cast as who he is. It's pretty funny.
Let's talk about the rest of the supporting cast. We touched on Marissa Tomei. She has some good scenes with Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And what? What's it?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind touching on Marissa Tomei.
Well, neither would I. I mean, you know, you probably have to lose some hair and get a little fatter, but wear glasses so you can be like George Costanza.
Stop, bald man. Do you know how many people like Marissa Tomei?
We also mentioned, you know, Michael Keaton, obviously, you know, Matt hit it right on the head. I mean, he is basically one of the best MCU villains now.
Not that it's a super high mark.
But it's clear. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with Marvel. Because it's, you know, when you've got Magneto, who is in the Fox universe, you've got Dr. Doom, who's also in the Fox universe, and they're, to me, the two best villains in the Marvel universe.
Did you see they're trying to redo Magneto for the next movie?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I don't know what the, I don't know. I didn't really read it.
They're really going to revamp Magneto's character for the next movie. Anyway.
Whatever. Yeah. We'll see. And then, to add further insult to injury, you got Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin on Netflix, but they're like, we're not going to use the Netflix people. You're out of your fucking minds.
Yeah, they're the best.
He is fantastic.
I have fucking David Tennant.
And David Tennant.
Fucking amazing.
But, spoiler alert, he probably won't be coming back.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But he was great.
No, he was fantastic.
He was
But you've got D'Onofrio as the Kingpin.
Yep.
And the Kingpin is somebody who should be fighting Spider-Man.
Well, he's like the main villain for Spider-Man. Or the main boots on the ground, super, the brains that's fighting Spider-Man all the time.
So you've got... So Michael Keaton did a great job in this. He did an excellent job. Robert Downey Jr. My biggest fear, and we've talked about it before we saw the movie, my biggest fear was that it was going to be too much Tony Stark. There's just enough Tony Stark in this.
Yeah.
It's not too much. It's not too little. It's just enough.
You could. It's possible that there are people that could argue it's too much, but it's really just a few scenes. I mean,
yeah, it's a few scenes, but it's not, it's just the right amount of Tony Stark.
And even the scenes that he's in, it's like a phone call.
It's not like he's stealing the scene.
No, he's not. Yeah. He's not.
No,
he's a background player.
No, Happy. Yeah, he's
John Favreau. John Favreau is in this as Happy Hogan. He's basically the point man for Spider-Man, who is he's supposed to go through to get to Tony Stark. And John Favreau, I love John Favreau as Happy Hogan.
Oh yeah,
I still don't think he should have been on a poster, but I love
even an inch high.
Yeah, even an inch high. No, it's you know, you need Spider-Man, Vulture. That's all you need.
Yeah.
But I love John Favreau as Happy Hogan. I loved him in the Iron Man movies. Because in Iron Man 3, he wasn't really in that one that much because he got knocked out of commission. I was actually pissed about that because his interactions with Downey are fucking fantastic.
I was hoping that they were going to cap off his, you know, wanting the new job, but they didn't really finish that. But I was hoping at the end of it, you know,
the forehead of security.
Yeah, I was hoping that would come back, have a little playback to that, but that didn't happen.
Donald Glover's in this, and a lot of people didn't know who he was, and he plays a crook, you know, he like a small time crook, but. What I saw on Collider, what they revealed, is his identity is really, he's Miles Morales' uncle. So that means Miles Morales exists in this universe.
In the universe, right.
Mm-hmm. So,
Which I think Feige said a few weeks ago.
So when Tom Holland...
The nephew is referenced.
When Tom Holland hits 30, 35, they'll probably, Peter Parker will probably step aside and Miles Morales will take over.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about... Oh, and then Bokeem Woodbine is in this also. He's the Shocker. He doesn't. He's kind of like the sub boss in like a video game. He's the mini boss.
Yeah. Yeah, they're setting him
and
up.
He's fine. He's fine. Yeah. Yeah,
he's Hannibal Buress makes an appearance in this. He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
As the coach at the high school. The TE teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really funny. And Martin Starr is in this as well.
Martin Starr is he's gonna be
Scorpion.
No, that's not Martin Starr.
Is that not wait?
No, Martin Starr from Silicon Valley.
The debate coach. I never knew his name. Okay.
Yeah, Martin Starr. Yeah, he was funny. Now let's talk about the kids, because the kids, the supporting cast, are great.
Yes.
In this, they're really, really good. You've got we'll start at the top. You got Zendaya plays Michelle. She is Michelle. She doesn't have a secret name. she really is Michelle, but she is clearly going to be an important character going forward, we'll say, based on the end of the movie.
Yes.
They really went a different way with the character.
They did. Somebody pointed out online, she's very much like Ally Sheedy from Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
She's very... As much as Peter feels like an outsider, she's very outsiderish.
Yeah.
Chooses it. She chooses it.
I think she puts on the airs that she chooses it because she has already been put on the outside.
Right.
So she puts on that exterior shell, like, I don't want to be, have friends.
I'm out here because I choose to be. Right.
And the other thing is, too, that's different about this movie, this iteration of Spider-Man than past ones. He goes to like a science high school. Like, this is like, you know, he goes to like nerd high, basically.
It's kind of like the school of science and math kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. So even a character like Flash Thompson, who's played by Tony Revolori, he's still smart. He's not the jock, but he's still an asshole.
Right. Yeah.
He apparently got death threats from people because he is not what people envisioned Flash to be.
I did not see that coming. I did not see them making Flash a complete nerd, like pretty much. I'm not a complete nerd because he's the cool one of the nerds because
he's
they're
the
all
cool
nerdy.
They
kind of
had
school.
To because they're not a regular high
but
school.
But that's the thing. Clearly this school is not going to have sports teams. That's not so. What are you going to do? And I thought he played it great.
No, he's good.
Flip. Abraham Ata, who was in Beasts of No Nation.
Yes.
He has a very small but hilarious role in this movie. He is on the
debate.
It's not the debate team.
It's
like the
quiz bowl
team. Yeah. And he is He's adorable in this movie. He's so funny. He's so funny in the parts that he has. Laura Harrier plays Liz, who's the romantic interest for Peter in this. And she's not exactly Liz from the previous. Did they have Liz in the previous Spider-Man movies? She was in Ultimate. She was in Ultimate Spider-Man.
She hasn't been in any movies before.
But she, Liz, I forget her last name in the Ultimate Spider-Man. I forget what it is.
Well, we know it in this one.
She was all right. I think for me, she might have been the weakest of the bunch. There was just not much given for her
to do.
Right.
And, of course, we already mentioned Jacob Batalon as Ned, who is Peter's best friend. He's very much based on, like, In the Spider-Man universe, the original Spider-Man universe, Ned was Ned Leeds, who eventually becomes Hobgoblin. This is not Ned Leeds. This is basically Genki, who is from the Miles Morales universe, who is the same way. His best friend. Finds out he's Spider-Man, can't fucking keep his mouth shut about it ever, and it goes from there. And he is
You want to tell people? Or should I tell people?
Should I tell people?
That's good.
He's super, super funny.
Yeah, that's good. You're forgetting my favorite supporting cast member, Chris Evans.
He was I was kind of keeping that a little secret.
He was in the trailer.
That's the funniest part of the fucking
movie. Oh, yeah. Captain America. Oh, my God. Captain America shows up in a bunch of PSAs throughout the movie.
They're skillfully put into the movie.
Right. But it's
a running joke, and it's hilarious.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. He's so... Chris Evans, like I said to Matt when we were walking out of the theater, I said, you know, everyone talks about Tony Stark and how they can't let Robert Downey Jr. go. I said, no, the one you can't let go is Chris Evans. He is perfect as Captain America. He's perfect. He's so, like, he can be corny without being, like, you know, stupid.
I hated Iron Man 3. Hated it.
Right.
Not really because of Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
It wasn't an Iron Man movie.
Honestly, this was the first movie where I finally started feeling played out on Iron Man. I was finally like, because I'm just seeing Robert Downey Jr. on the screen.
Right.
It's not Iron Man. It's, you know, he's...
Well, I would say that the Russos reined him back in a little bit on Civil War. With this one, John Watts is a new director.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. can kind of push him around.
Get me wrong, I'm not saying he played the part bad.
Not that
I have the right to say that anyway. But I was finally... I could feel myself going, oh, it's Iron Man again. And that's hard for me because the original Iron Man movie is still one of my favorite of the superhero movies. I thought that was so well done at the time.
It really was.
It still holds up.
Still a good movie to watch.
The other thing that's really a quibble, but it's interesting when they build the cinematic universe and they're so focused on continuity, the time frame didn't make any sense. Because they said, now, if you did 8 years from Iron Man, it makes sense. But it was the end of Avengers, which was 2012. And they said 8 years later. And I'm like, technically, that's the future now. That's 2020. And this definitely doesn't take place in 2020. This takes place literally like weeks after Civil War.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah. I turned to him immediately. I was like, well, 8 years? I'm like, that can't be right. Because because what's happened in the Marvel Cinematic...
Clearly, that's what it was, because that's the whole crux of the movie. They're cleaning up.
Right, because the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what it's been is, like, every year the movie comes out, that's the year it actually happens in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So...
Except for
Guardians 2, which takes place 6 months after Guardians 1.
Yeah.
But this one... But when they explicitly say 8 years, I'm like... that's not right.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So I think that might have been an error on their part. I think they may have meant 8 years after Iron Man.
Maybe.
Or maybe even Iron Man 2.
Blatant error. I doubt they would do that on, like, by accident.
That's an easy fix in editing too. Right?
Yeah.
Let me just change this number.
I mean, like, six. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if they change it. Maybe they change it on the Blu-ray or something like that. It'll be interesting to see if they change it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
But That was
Now I hate this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Makes
I hate
no
this movie
sense
now.
Whatsoever, C. and I don't like it.
C, F, F plus.
F plus.
So I'm not going to delve into the whole plot because we're already 45 minutes into this thing. But we will talk about. Let's talk about spoilers.
Let's talk that we did. The plot's so simple,
right?
And it's great,
right?
It's great because this movie isn't about the plot. It's about fucking Spider-Man
Well, and, I mean, and that's a different movie.
And it's not retreading Spider-Man either. Like,
right.
We didn't need to see the origin story again. Thank God it's just, like, slightly referenced.
I do.
Because guess what? Everyone fucking knows.
Yeah.
And it was perfect.
But I do kind of agree a little bit with, like I said, I was watching Collider. I do kind of agree with what they said. Is like, they were a little surprised that they didn't at least mention Uncle Ben's name. Like, even when he says to Ned, he goes, everything she's been through. And all he had to say, you know, with, like, Uncle Ben and everything, you know, it's like, you know, that, you know.
But in an actual conversation, you're probably not, or not going to say that.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. Right. But
I get the point. Yeah. Right? But it flows. It.
Yeah, that's something I don't think you have to go over again. Everybody knows who Uncle Ben is. Everybody knows he's dead. That's why Spider-Man exists.
Right.
You know, and they reference.
They know the radioactive spider.
They reference May having a difficult time. She's adjusting. Yep. So you get that sense.
Yeah. She's working as a stripper, and some wrestler guy won't leave her alone.
It's crazy. Wait, that is a different movie. Then they karaoke to
so that was a
Ground
prequel.
And Ground.
Yeah, that's a prequel.
It's a prequel to Spider-Man.
So you're saying Mickey Rourke is his Uncle Ben?
Well, no, we already know who he is. He's
Whiplash.
He's Whiplash.
Oh, that's right.
He's Whiplash. Clearly. Come on.
I want the bird.
God damn it.
I was so upset that she went with Uncle Ben, I became Whiplash. Yeah.
So let's
talk about spoilers. There
deep spoilers, or we just
yeah, we can do deep spoilers, and then we'll
deep.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
We should have a program to that.
Deep spoilers.
Sonar alerts. Deep spoilers.
Oh, one other thing before we get into the spoilers.
Resurface.
No, one more thing before we get into the spoilers. The fucking music, the score in this movie, when they show the Marvel logo, hell fucking yeah.
That's awesome. they put the original 60s Spider-Man theme in there.
Michael Giacchino put in, and as Dirty A pointed out, he goes, ooh, they put in the spider pig. Because it sounded like the Simpsons movie when they did it, the orchestral version of spider pig.
It was awesome.
It was so cool. It was awesome. And it's like, and I said to Matt, like when we found out that Danny Elfman was taking over for Junkie XL on Justice League, I'm like, I could see Danny Elfman trying to maybe rework the Super Friends theme into something orchestral and like
that would be fucking awesome.
That's what I said. I said it'd be amazing.
Do it, Danny.
If they start, do you say the dun dun?
If he does that, I'll cream my pants.
Okay, well, we'll be sitting next to you. Yeah.
You'll be off on your own.
Jen and Lauren.
You don't even know that you sat next to me when I've creamed my pants before. Joke's on you guys.
This is the last episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. Let's get into spoilers. Yeah. Deep spoilers. the biggest thing, because people were trying to figure out who Michelle was, who Zendaya's character was. And of course, people are like, it's Mary Jane.
It's pretty brief.
At the end of the movie, she does reveal that, and it is kind of awkward when she reveals it, but she reveals that her nickname is MJ. So,
of course she is.
She is Mary Jane, essentially, in this universe.
If you didn't figure that out in the movie, up to that point, it was
right.
Because, you know, the whole, you know, she was always sitting near them, but they would act like it's just because... whatever, you know, she makes a joke about it.
She's like, I'm not obsessed with him. She knew his schedule.
Absolutely. And it was clear she was obsessing over him, and she was always, she's doing what kids do. It's typically, but it's a role reversal because it's normally the guy that's doing it. But, you know, you pull on the pigtails a little bit.
But again, that plays into Ultimate because in the Ultimate universe, in the normal Marvel universe, Mary Jane is a party girl and all this kind of stuff.
She's a popular...
In the Ultimate universe, she's a nerd, just like Peter Parker.
Oh, is that right?
They're like best friends. Oh. And that's how it starts.
Okay.
And it's really great. But Bendis, if you never read Brian Michael Bendis' Ultimate Spider-Man, I guess like the first, 100 issues, I guess, whatever. It's great. It's a great fucking series. It's a real good take on Spider-Man. So that's one. But the other thing that people were... the rumor was that she was going to end up being the Vulture's daughter. Well, it's not her that's the Vulture's daughter.
God damn it. I can't believe I didn't pick up on that. I mean, not that they give you any hints to it, but
it's a good twist.
It is a good twist.
I should have seen it.
And it makes sense.
I just feel like I should have saw it coming, and I didn't.
Because all throughout the movie, the Vulture keeps talking about my family, my daughter, friend, but you never really see them. And just as I was in the movie going, I really need to see more of his family to really care about his point of view.
The door opens
and you find out he's Liz's father.
It was fucking great.
And then when Peter goes to, he asks Liz to the homecoming dance, and she says yes. And so when he goes to pick her up for the homecoming dance, the fucking Michael Keaton opens the door, and he's like, you can basically hear him peeing his pants, basically. And that's when Michael Keaton pieces it all together that he is Spider-Man.
That's where we get the car scene.
That's where we get the car scene.
And this car scene where they're kind of, he's kind of getting interrogated while they're heading to the prom.
It turns from a daddy interrogation into a, oh my God, you're a fucking Spider-Man.
There's a real subtle scene earlier in the movie that I loved. I love subtle scenes just because the way they end up playing out. Because, like, as you mentioned, his whole thing is, I need to take care of my family. I'll do anything for the safety of my family. But if you recall, there's a very subtle scene earlier on where his wife calls and left a message, and she's his partner says, she says the brake light's out again, you still haven't fixed it or something like that. And it kind of calls back to he's not doing anything for his family. You know, that's the kind of things he would take care of if he cared about his family safety.
Right.
And I love the real subtle things that they did in this movie to piece all that together that, okay, this guy's really just a psychopath.
Yeah. Right. Another spoiler, I guess that's the biggest spoiler. That's the biggest twist.
Yeah.
Another big spoiler though is that, you know, Michael Keaton figures out that, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Also, Michael Keaton's character doesn't die in this movie, which is awesome. So he will live on, but he does go to prison. And the first, post-credit scene, there's two of them. The first post-credit scene, is Mac Gargan, who has a very bit part in this movie, but he is the secret identity of the Scorpion.
Well, and he shows up before this scene.
He's on the boat. But he's on. Yeah, he shows up earlier in the movie. It's a very bit part, but he will be the Scorpion.
He's hurt by Spider-Man,
right?
During that fight,
right?
Spider-Man makes fun of him and hurts him.
Did he get burned? What was it?
Something like that.
His eye got cut up and scarred on his face.
And but anyway, so he'll become the Scorpion. But he approaches Michael Keaton in prison. He goes, "Oh, the word is, you know who Spider-Man is," and blah blah blah. And Michael Keaton doesn't reveal it because Spider-Man saves his life
there
at the end of the movie.
Many motives to
right.
This.
He also saved his daughter.
He has saved his daughter. He saved his life, and then also Michael Keaton could just be saying, oh, "I'm gonna take care of myself."
Yeah.
So I could totally see Michael Keaton possibly becoming
keeping that close to the vest,
possibly becoming this universe's Green Goblin.
I hope so.
Without getting Green Goblin involved,
I hope so. That would be awesome because he's so good.
But if they're gonna do MCU stuff, they probably need to get Norman Osborn involved.
They've already used Iron Patriot. He can't be Iron Patriot.
Right. Right. But whatever. He could, whatever. and then the final big spoiler that happens. Oh, well, I will say the second post-credit scene is, I won't even ruin it for you. It's just straight comedy. It's not important to the plot,
I think we should not ruin even in a spoiler.
It's a huge payoff from the rest of the movie, and definitely stick around for that. It's after all the credits.
God damn, that was funny.
It was funny. But the other biggest spoiler is that at the very end of the movie, you know, if you've seen the trailers, you know Tony Stark takes the suit away from Spider-Man because he fucks up on the ferry, and then he has to go back to his old sweats and stuff like that. Which I liked his goggles still that had the zoo, 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 they were still, you know, they still worked like that.
Fighting,
Shocker.
And he's like, "What the hell did you do to your costume?"
Yeah, and so, but at the end of the movie, Tony was going to make him a member of the Avengers, a full-fledged member of the Avengers, and he was going to give him this other suit that Matt liked.
I didn't like it.
It looked very Iron Spider.
Now I didn't realize. But... I didn't realize there was an Iron Spider. I didn't realize that existed.
Well, it doesn't really. I mean, it's
not exactly like Iron Spider.
No,
but it does have
that
like
costume's
armor pieces
ugly as fuck.
Okay.
Yeah, the Iron Spider costume is ugly as fuck.
This just was. I don't know how to say it. I want to say too sleek, but...
It's too slick.
It's
I mean,
shiny.
Yeah.
It's Iron Man, Spider-Man costume.
Yeah.
So
Tony Stark will probably be wearing it in the next movie. Peter chooses to, you know, go his own way.
And that was a fun scene, by the way.
Yeah, no, he's on to stay the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, yada, yada, yada.
And he's like, you were just setting it up. You were just testing me anyway, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really funny.
Then what happens is Peter goes back to the house... And he's like, oh, May, are you here, May, May? And then he sees a bag on his bed, and it's from Tony. It's the costume. He puts the costume on, and then coming in the door behind him is Aunt May. And she goes, what the fuck? And it cuts the credits. So now Aunt May knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Now, of course, in Spider-Man 2, it's implied that she knows that he's Spider-Man. And they even did it, I think, in Amazing Spider-Man as well. Right. I think
she has a little dialogue in there.
She was saying something. Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2 had some... It was leaning that way. They never came out and said it.
Well, they didn't come out and say it's Spider-Man either. But it's heavily implied that she knows he's Spider-Man.
For me, it seemed a little early to reveal that. But you guys' points that we talked about makes sense. It's just for me, part of Spider-Man's whole thing was having to dodge getting in and out of the house and having to worry about Aunt May. And
well, clearly, he probably still will.
And clearly, now it will be her basically saying, you shouldn't be doing this. Right. You're fucking going to kill yourself.
But the other thing is...
Promise me you'll stop. Yeah.
But the other thing is, too, is like the reason why it works is it's for the same reason that you guys are saying, oh, no, don't mention Uncle Ben and all this stuff. It's because we've already accelerated past all that stuff. Right. So it's okay that they do
that. That makes sense. And like y'all say, she's younger, so there's no way she was... She's not the gullible Aunt May. She would have figured it out earlier in the movie.
She's already pointed out. She's like, you're gone every
night.
She's already realized that
he sneaks out. Yeah.
And plus, the other thing is, too, a big reason why he didn't tell Aunt May in the original comic books is because Aunt May was 9,000 years old. He's like, if I told her, the shock would kill her. Right. And so, like, that's the other reason. Marissa Tomei ain't dying of any heart attacks. Right. In fact, she's probably fucking Tony Stark right now. So,
whatever. So,
well, the scene at the beginning with the
hey, May, you wearing something skimpy? No,
that was funny. But I'm talking about with the bodega guy.
Oh, right,
the jelly guy.
Yeah, he's like, hot Italian woman.
How's your daughter?
He's like,
$10.
So it's a game changer. This will be interesting to see what happens now that May knows that he is Spider-Man.
Which the next time we will see him is in Infinity War.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to do much there.
She might have a scene.
Maybe.
It might be like Justice League from the trailers where like they throw away scenes.
It's likely going to be a while before we even delve into that.
Which is fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
When is the next Spider-Man movie? It's 2019?
Yeah. I couldn't even
summer 2019, isn't it? Because it's Infinity War, then Super Secret Avengers movie in May of 2019, and then it's Spider-Man.
Well, in between there is Captain Marvel.
Well, I know that, but I mean, as far as Spider-Man goes,
yeah. Well, I'm saying I don't know how close it is Captain Marvel if it's 2019, because that's when Captain Marvel comes out.
Captain Marvel comes out in March
of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and then
so he could be in May or June or
I think he's July probably. I think that's what it is, because it goes Captain Marvel, and then Avengers is May, which it always is, and then Spider-Man is July.
Yeah, because Feige said that Spider-Man Homecoming 2 will take up, he said, 4 minutes after the second Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Or Avengers 4, whatever right. that, the second Infinity War movie, whatever that is.
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
There was some news. There was some movie news that you mentioned Captain Marvel. Samuel Jackson's going to be in Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Nick Fury is back.
So now the movie is now called Nick Fury and Captain Marvel.
I don't think that's true.
Because Marvel doesn't trust women to do anything.
Shaft. Shut your mouth.
True.
That'd be awesome. Captain Marvel meets Shaft. So yeah, so Spider-Man Homecoming. Go see it. It's not only one of the best movies of the year, it's one of the best Marvel movies, period.
Oh yeah, let's...
I mean,
yeah, roundtable. Where do y'all put it in the spec?
I think it's in my top three.
Are we talking all superhero movies?
Let's say let's go. I'm saying all superhero movies.
Okay,
to take out the MCU.
That I haven't thought about it in those terms. Yet. I'm just thinking about it.
Your top three of the MCU.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, it displaces Spider-Man 2 for me.
I mean, that's big
already,
for you, because that was already your biggest one.
Yeah, that was already my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if it beats, like, it's up there with, say, Winter Soldier, which is top.
Oh, very close. Yeah, very close.
Winter Soldier's like two.
For me, my top three is Winter Soldier, in no particular order, but Winter Soldier's still the top, but then the next two, Iron Man, and then this.
Well, I'm talking like all superhero movies.
Right. Well, for me, the Dark Knight's still number one.
Well, I have Winter Soldier, Dark Knight. They're all in the same sort of realm.
Yeah, sure.
So I think this is right up there though.
Yeah.
I can't say it doesn't earn a spot. Yeah. Okay. It's like I'll watch Winter Soldier whenever. I do not care. Right. And this is going to be another one of those movies. I'll watch this. Like, but things like Doctor Strange, I've seen twice. But
I didn't see that twice.
And I didn't need to see it the second time. And it's there are other movies like that where I'm just like, ah, okay, I'm done. But this movie I will watch whenever. I mean, it's one of those rewatchable, good movies.
Yeah,
yeah. I haven't. I'd have to see like a list in front of me to really start.
Well, your number one was Thor: Dark World.
Yeah, Thor: Dark World. Clearly,
number two, Thor: Incredible Hulk.
And then there's
Thor: Ragnarok. Then there's that
Thor
right
movie
there.
I haven't seen yet. Yeah. It's in there. There was that Thor movie made in the 90s, which was really good. There was that made for TV. Incredible Hulk movie that had Thor in it, which was great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love, for you, you guys know I love Guardians. Cause that's,
yeah.
For me, that's way up there for me. Winter Soldier, of course, way up there. This definitely ranks up there. I haven't sat down with a list to say. I also love the original Iron Man.
That movie's fantastic.
It's such a good movie.
It is.
Terrence Howard makes that movie.
I hate to even shine the light on this competition because it's not The Dark Knight, but it does that same thing The Dark Knight does, where it makes a film out of a superhero movie.
Mm.
Just in
going in the comedy direction.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's why I said I don't want to.
Right. There's that John Hughes-ish teen comedy coming of age.
And this one is so brilliant in that vein.
Yeah.
And there's even a callback to First Bruce Day Off.
There is. Yeah, that was very funny. But yeah, this movie works on like every level. It's really good. It's when it wants to be funny, it's super funny.
Oh my god!
When it wants to be action, it's action. When it wants to have some tension, there's tension.
It's got a good emotional moments.
Yeah. And there's a And there's a great that balance scene, of all of it. It's not overly funny. Mm-mm. It's not overly. It's just perfect.
I actually love when Peter, or I guess he's Spider-Man. Whenever Tom Holland's trying to get out from under the rubble, mm-hmm. but after Vulture buries him under the roof.
Yeah.
Tom Holland does such a good job in that scene because he ceases to be Spider-Man for a second, and he's a scared little kid.
He's scared. Yeah. Oh God, when he was like when calling was, like, out for help.
Right? Yeah, he's like you're crying, like, you're calling like,
oh,
out for
shit.
Help.
And you remember? Like, oh, you remember? He's a fucking 15-year-old
kid, and he's like he relapses just for a moment into that sort of child.
Yeah. You know what happened in that scene? It was really talent. Is when the beams
I thought about that
don't hold up
said.
The roof, and then the roof just falls on
people. Yeah. Okay.
We saw Kevin Smith last night, and
I did.
He repeated that story twice in one
day. I did love that whole scene there when he's like, you didn't even hit me. He's like, well, I
wasn't really trying to.
But I heard, you guys would know more than I was, I read that scene was a callback to a famous scene in the comics.
It's a cover. It's a cover from the comic books. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very famous cover where he's under all this like metal and stuff like that. Much like in Spider-Man 2, when he throws the costume away and he walks away from the garbage can, that's from Spider-Man No More.
Right.
Even though that cover was basically Peter Parker walking towards the reader, and then Spider-Man, there's like this giant Spider-Man walking away from the reader.
Right.
Another iconic cover. But yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming.
I can't wait to see him in Venom. Oh, no, wait.
Oh, why didn't I bring that up?
I don't know how that shit's going to work, but...
whatever.
Go...
We're saying go see, like you haven't seen it already. Go see Spider-Man again.
Yeah, go see Spider-Man Homecoming. It's the real deal. And I know people might have some trepidation because they're just like, it's the sixth fucking Spider-Man movie. I don't need
this
to see
this.
This
doesn't feel like it.
No, this is...
Because you haven't seen a movie...
It's so fresh.
You haven't seen a Spider-Man movie like
We didn't talk about it. They somehow find a way to make Spider-Man fresh again.
Yeah.
You
forget that they've made five... shit movies, you know, like
this is
not shit, not off shit. It's not that's unfair.
But it's been three in a row.
Yeah,
three shitty movies in a row.
Well, how many? They've only done five total. Yeah, I didn't mean to say that. Damn, because
no, they've done three shitty movies.
Yes,
in a row.
Absolutely. And this just makes everything feel fresh again. And you fight Spider-Man is vibrant again.
He's it's like I said, it's the first Spider-Man movie that I've loved.
We do know people that didn't like it.
Yeah, we do.
I don't understand how, but you know, the people that just for some reason don't like the whole universe itself, but
yeah, but he likes the DC universe more so.
And that's fine. And that's fine. Everyone has their
universe. I gotta be honest. I mean, I gotta be honest. I was watching the Ultimate edition of the Batman versus Superman. I was watching, and I was about an hour into the 3 hours. And as I'm watching, I'm like, this isn't terrible. I mean, it does fall apart, but it's not. I never considered that movie to be as bad as people. To me, Suicide Squad is worse. I mean, so Suicide Squad is the worst movie.
When I first saw the movie, I mostly was at least entertained. But then after really talking about it with you guys,
it was after we saw it the second time, and then the cracks start to show in it.
Well, this was after the first time I saw it, and I realized that the characters on the screen, though, they weren't who they were portraying. You know, Jesse Eisenberg played a cool character, but it's not Lex Luthor. And there's no way to get around that. And you're not going to be able to fix that later because he is who he is now. So those problems really detracted the movie from me when I watched it in that light of of who they should be.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not like they're just god-awful pieces of shit movies. But man, they got some big problems.
I mean, the biggest problem, though, for the Batman versus Superman, though, was the fact that they cut so much out of the theatrical version.
I did not find that the...
I don't think it added...
I watched it with you guys.
But it does it in such a telling...
Yeah, manner.
I mean, the whole beginning...
There's a reason that it was cut out.
I gained nothing.
I mean, the whole beginning scene makes, like, with the desert thing, makes way more sense in that.
I guess. I just didn't get it. That's what everyone said. Like, you watch this and you're going to feel much better about the movie. I didn't.
No.
I never need to see that movie again.
No. That'll be a discussion for November when Justice League comes out.
Right, yeah.
So that'll do it. Thanks for coming by again, Matt.
You're welcome.
And go see Spider-Man. Yep. Spider-Man Homecoming. It's in theaters now. We'll see you next time, folks.